And I want you to open your Bibles tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 6. Sixth chapter of the book of Romans. We're commencing to read at the verse number 11 of this passage of God's Word, Romans chapter 6. Commencing to read at verse number 11. I want you to keep your Bibles open tonight, and as we study the Word of God, that our hearts might be blessed as we follow the reading of God's infallible truth. Likewise reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Amen. The first time I ever came to this town to ever speak was as a young person, as a young teenager. And I remember coming to the place which was known then as the Christian Workers Union Hall. And I was invited with another group of young people, Dinaki young people. We went around the countryside as young people singing at all the gospel missions, the pilgrims meetings and all the rest. And we were going from meeting to meeting to take those meetings. I remember we were asked to come to the CW Hall here in the town. And at the end of it, I was the one that was told to speak. And I remember speaking upon Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, the end of that story is this, that just a few days after that, I went into the Free Presbyterian Church. And I went as a student into the ministry. And then I remember coming back to Macrofelt, and we thought naturally, as we were in just a short time before that in the CW Hall, that it would be open. We asked them for a mission, but because I was under the new title of Free Presbyterian, then I wasn't allowed in. But I still am able to preach this, Romans chapter 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want you to keep your Bibles open tonight, and I want us to understand the teaching and to try to expound to you just exactly where this verse comes in and what it means to us. And I pray the Spirit of God will open our hearts just to receive the truth of what is in this verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the first thing I want us to notice is, first of all, its context. Let's look at the context in which this verse comes in. I want you to notice one little word at the commencement of verse number 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, I'm sure you just pass over that and you think that that really doesn't mean anything and that word's just sitting in there. Let me tell you, there's nothing in the Word of God that doesn't mean anything. And what does it mean? Therefore, it allows us to get the context. Because the word for, it's like the word wherefore, it's like the word therefore. What it means is this, that if you want to understand and you want to get it into its context, you will have to understand what goes before. In the light of therefore, this is the verse. In the light of what goes before, wherefore, then we have the exposition of the verse. And that little word for is a word that is a connecting word and allows us to get it into its context. So I asked the question, why does the word or the verse commence or start with the little word for? And what it simply is there for is to direct our attention to what that has gone before. Now, of course, that itself poses another question. What has gone before? And we're going to try to understand just exactly what has gone before. You see, in verse number 21, we have these words. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And here we see, first of all, the statement that the end of the service of sin, in other words, the end of a life of sinning, friend, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The statement that the end of the service of sin is death. And then if you go to verse number 22, it says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And here we see, instead of the end of the service of sin being death, we see the statement that the end of the service of the Savior is everlasting life. What a different end there is, as we'll see in a moment here, because the Bible says in verse 22, but now being made free from sin. In other words, there came a moment when things changed. Something happened in the now. And friend, let me tell you, if you're not saved in the now, in this world, you'll not be saved in eternity. You'll be lost for all eternity. You've got to be saved now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want you to notice something else here. Do you notice that there are two freedoms here that is mentioned in this chapter number 6? There are two freedoms that is mentioned. Go back to verse number 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. And here it's speaking about a freedom. It is a freedom from, it's a book of contrasts. It's a freedom from righteousness. And what we see there is this, my friend, that when we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness because we had no righteousness. We had no righteousness. It was absolutely impossible for us to do righteously because there is none in sin, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know, some people boast about what they are doing, and my people tell you, you know, that person will get to heaven because look at the good works they do. Look at all those loving favors they do. They look after old people, they look after the community, they serve the community well, and they tell you, just look at their lives. It is a model life because of the service that they give. Just last week, or just the other day, we had the announcement of the Queen's medals, or the Queen's decorations. I'm very delighted that a friend of mine got his MBE this last week, one of our elders actually in our Bethany church, and I thank God I had a part of the privilege of recommending him for that, because our brother Woolsey Smith has been a very godly man and a man who has taken a great stand for the Lord, and he's been a counselor in Craigavon for many years, and he's worked amongst the elderly people, and the Queen gave him recognition. And she gave him his MBE. But let me tell you, my friend, listen, with all the good works that a man does, it will never, ever get him to heaven. And if you're relying on works, friend, the Word of God says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, it is not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. You know, my friend, if a man could get a heaven by his works, he will walk down the streets of glory and he'll pass by the Savior and say, you know, I didn't need you, Lord, because I made it my way. Let me tell you, he'll never be there. He'll never be there. The Word of God is clear, my friend. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by the grace of God, through faith in Christ, that a man is saved, and that he'll make the pearly the streets of glory. There is a freedom from righteousness. Why? Because he has none. It's absolutely impossible for him to be righteous, because the Word of God, Romans chapter 3 says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In verse number 10 it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. No, not one, friend. And if you're here tonight to boast in your righteousness and boast in your goodnesses, I tell you this, you're a full-blooded candidate for hell, and you'll go down the dark chambers of the damned to be lost for all eternity, because the Word of God says you're only saved by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Freedom from righteousness, verse 20. But then go on to verse 22, see the second freedom. It's completely different. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now being made free from sin. Notice that word. You see, friend, let me, here's a freedom here, free from sin. You say, how can I get into that blessed position of being free from sin? It says, now having been made free from sin. It's nothing that you have done. It's not of your works, lest any man should boast. It's all of grace. It is all of God. It is all of Christ and Christ alone. And here we see a freedom. Here's a glorious freedom. The Bible tells us, he whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. The man that is set free by the blessed gospel of Christ and by the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. It's a glorious freedom. He's free. You remember the old demon of Gadara? He was shackled by his sins. And boy, I tell you this, they chained him, but he couldn't be tamed in any way. And my, he was running around amidst the tombs, and he was crying and he was groaning and he was cutting himself. He was a slave to sin. But then Jesus came. Thank God, whenever Jesus came, Jesus made him changed and different. He became a new creature in Christ. And whenever the crowd saw him, what was it? He was sitting there, sitting, instead of running. He was clothed instead of naked. He was in his right mind instead of being unseen. Who made the difference? Jesus. Let me tell you, my friend, Jesus is the only one. Yes, Jesus took my burden, and he left me with a song. It's only the Savior can give that glorious and wonderful freedom. And so the consummation of our consecration to Christ is freedom from sin. Being made free, it says. Made free. Made free. It's not that we have this of ourselves. It's not of our actions. It's not of our doing. And it says here in verse 22, but now being made free. This is justification by faith in Christ alone, and through the mighty outworking of the Spirit of God in his heart, through the truth of the gospel. The truth shall set you free, and he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You study that yourself. There's two freedoms there. Do you see the two fruits? Go to the chapter again. Go there to verse number 21. It says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? There's the fruits of sin. Here's the fruits of sin. And those who live to sin know that there's dark fruits. My, they know that there's bitter fruit. The end of a man's sin, friend. Oh, it's so bitter. The end thereof. The end thereof. You know, people, for a season, they may enjoy their sin. But you know, the Bible says here, verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now? What's the next word? Ashamed. See, the man who loves a sin, friend, one day he'll stand before God and the books of God will open, friend. Let me tell you, when that sinner stands before God in the day of judgment, I'll tell you, that sinner will be ashamed of the fruits of sin. He'll be ashamed! You know, sometimes an old bold sinner comes to the preacher and, boy, they try to knock you up and ruffle you up and try to knock you down. But I want to tell you this, friend. When that day when man stands before God, someone say, I'll tell God a thing or two. Let me tell you, poor fool. They'll never open their mouth. They'll never open their mouth, friend, because the Bible tells us that every mouth will be silenced.
And there'll be silence because of reality. Whenever the books of God are open and the story of their life is read, it's their sin that comes before them and the guilt of their sin. Yes, what does it say? What fruit had ye then? And those things were off ye are now ashamed. Just keep your hand there. Turn back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 is the story of how that Adam was in the garden. Remember, God said to Adam, if you go down to chapter number 3, go down to verse 9, and says, the Lord God called on Adam and said unto him, Adam, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Why did he hide himself, friend? Because he was ashamed. He was ashamed. You see, on that day when God calls man to account, there is no hiding place. The Bible tells me, the book of Revelation, it says that the man, on that great day, when the day of God's wrath comes, they'll call on the rocks and the mountains, and they'll say to the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide. Imagine sinner calling the rocks and the mountains, say, rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. In the wrath of the Lamb. You see, friend, let me be honest with you. You might be enjoying your sin tonight. That's why you're not saved. You're enjoying it. And you're enjoying the fruits of your sin. But I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost tells me this, that the fruit of your sin will one day bring shame. It'll bring you shame. And there'll never be a man or a woman that will be thankful that they sinned in their lifetime whenever they go down into the darkness of hell and are lost forever. Oh, the awful shame. And they bear the fruit of sin. But it didn't promise that way. You know, Adam and Eve, they weren't promised that they'd be ashamed. Not at all. They were promised to become as gods. They were promised that they'd be elevated. My, would lift them up and they'd become their own master, their own charge of their own life. The Bible says, all it took, friends, listen, you notice that? All it took was a voice of God to call. Didn't even have to see him. It says, the voice of the Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and the Lord God said unto Adam, Adam, where art thou? Listen, and he ran. You imagine what it's going to be the day when God calls a sinner, you friend, and God calls you to account and you stand before the great Jehovah. And the books of God are open, friend, and the story of your life's read, and let me tell you, it's not a pretty sight. And you see, when those books of God are open, friend, every sin that you've ever committed comes out. The sins that are hid, the sins that you want no one to know about. And friend, let me tell you this, there's nothing beautiful about any sin. And God says, be sure your sin will find you out. And when your sin finds you out, friend, on the day of judgment and you stand before God, and you'll be ashamed. But there's nowhere to hide. Nothing to hide your shame. The shame of sinning against God. That's the fruit of your sin. But then go on down to verse 22. Verse 22 says, but now you see things have changed. Things are different. But now, notice those words, but now, now they're gloriously changed. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit. What was it? Unto holiness. Unto holiness. Your fruit unto holiness. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ wants his children to bear fruit for him. Oh, that every one of our hearts would be conscious lest we sin against the Lord, friend. I said this morning, I would to God that each one of us has a tender heart and a listening ear. Oh, how it must grieve the heart of God when his child falls into sin. And the cause of Christ is shamed. And the world stands back and laughs. Oh, friend, let me tell you, The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to have your fruit unto holiness. Holiness unto the Lord. You ought to pray, you know, every day you rise and every morning before you go out into the world. God, keep me. Keep me today. Keep your hand upon me today. See, the world will try to stain you, friend. The world will try to soil you. I'll tell you, there's nothing wrong, but I'll tell you, see, once you fall, they are the first to point the finger. Remember old Judas? Old Judas, he was cheered on until he sold the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever he realized what he had done and he came back into the presence, came into the back of the presence of those there, those soldiers and all the rest, and he threw down the money and he said, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. No, they said, see ye to it. That's your business. Let me tell you, the world will cheer you on to hell, friend. The world will cheer you on to sin. The world even will cheer the child of God and try to get the child of God to fall. But dear unsaved person, let me say something tonight to you very plain. The world may laugh you into hell. But the world will never laugh you out of it. You remember that? You see the boys that are cheering you on to get you to sin and to go deeper into sin, let me tell you, they are the first ones that whenever you come in need for them, they'll not be there. Remember the story of the prodigal? Remember the prodigal son? He went into the far country and he spent all he had in riotous living. That meant, friend, listen, he lived into the depths of sin. That's what it meant. He soiled himself and he spoiled himself. But the word was there to cheer him on. Because his pocket was full. Then the Bible tells us this. That when he came to an end of himself, and absolutely nothing, he was sitting down at an old pig trough. And he craved for the very food that the pigs were eating. Listen, it says this. And no man. Notice this, mark you these words. No man gave unto him. You see, the boys that were crowded around him when they had plenty to give, friend, there wasn't one near him. Never he came to the end of his resources. Not one of them! Not one of them wanted to know him! When he was down in the gutter, when he was down there, his face in the muck! And in the gutter, had nothing more to give them. They had nothing to give him. And they went off to rob somebody else, spoil somebody else. That's the world do, friend. God wants us children, listen, verse 22, now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. There's the two fruits, whoever the two freedoms. You notice the two finishes. If you go back to verse 21, it says, for the end of those things is death. There's the finish. The end of those things. The end of what things, friend? The end of sin. Things that you're ashamed of. The sins that you have to stand before God to give an account of. For the end of those things is death. Go to the end of verse 22. And the end of the fruits of holiness, everlasting life. Two finishes. Let me ask you, what finish do you want? What finish, friend, would you want tonight? Thank God, the end of the fruit unto holiness is everlasting life. We've looked at the context. Secondly, look at the consideration here. Would you go back to the beginning of the chapter? Go to verse 1. Here's the consideration. You see, the chapter opens with a question. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yes, I said the chapter opens with a question, friend. And then that question leads on to the explanation of the two ways and the two ends. It says verse number 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You see, friend, chapter 5 speaks of justification. Chapter 6 is talking about sanctification. And sanctification is the logical outcome of our justification. You see, our union with Christ, my union with Christ makes me what I am positionally. I am in Christ Jesus. And thank God, in Christ, I am just as if I never had sinned. Thank God, positionally, I'm perfect. And as God looks on me, this poor lost sinner of Adam's cursed race, who was brought nigh by the blood of Christ and brought into that blessed union with Jesus Christ by the blessed Holy Spirit, positionally in Christ, as God looks at me, he looks through his Son. And as he looks at me through Jesus Christ, thank God, positionally, I'm without sin. I'm without sin. And as God looks at me, he looks at me robed in the righteousness of Christ. Because you see, my friend, the righteousness of Christ was imputed, the Bible says imputed to me, or reckoned to me. And because the righteousness of Christ was reckoned to me, I'm free. Positionally, my union with Christ makes me what I am positionally. But it is the operation of that principle that makes us what we are practically. What shall we then say, it's asked? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Go to verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Let me tell you something. Sin can no longer make or invoke God's law to bring me under judgment, to bring me under condemnation. Because I'll tell you why. Christ satisfied divine justice. Christ fulfilled all the demands of that law for me. And dying on the cross of Calvary, he paid the penalty of my sin. Therefore, sin shall not have dominion over me. It's not having going to rule over me. Why? Because of Christ and what he did for me on the cross of Calvary. And sin can no longer invoke or bring God's law, bring me under condemnation of God's law, because Christ was condemned in my place and stood in my stead. Let me show you just exactly what's happened here. Go to verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Notice the tense. Ye were the servants of sin. Ye were. That's the past tense, friend. That's what we were. We were. We were the servants of sin. You see the word servant. We were the slaves of sin. In other words, we were in bondage to sin. Many a man has said to me, and I've said this over and over again, he said to me, preacher, I have tried my best to break the chains, but I can't do it. Many a drunkard, many a gambler, many a harlot said, preacher, I've tried. It's not, friend, that they don't want. Is that they can't. Because of themselves, they have no power to break the chains of sin. You see, it was John Newton. Remember John Newton wrote the words of that lovely old hymn? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It said that John Newton, in his study, he hung across the desk a text of scripture. Let me show you what he hung across his desk. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And John Newton hung this across his desk, reminding him exactly who he was. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15, "And thou shalt remember," don't forget this, friend, don't forget, "thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord hath redeemed thee. The Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt." Don't ever forget where you came from. Using good country expression, never forget the bow you were baked in. Some people have got an idea, you know, they get beyond themselves. Maybe they get a wee bit of money, maybe they get a bit of position. And they get exactly who they were and just exactly what their rearing was. Just keep your feet on the ground, friend. And John Newton always remembered this. He always, God said to him, "Listen, just remember that thou wast a bondsman. It was the Lord redeemed you. You were a bondsman in Egypt one day." And friend, that's where God found me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, what we were, slaves in bondage to sin. We have been reading about the children of Israel down in Egypt, friend. Let me tell you, they were slaves in Egypt. And they were not only in bondage, they were under a burden. Under a burden. I know there's many a mother tonight that are carrying a burden. I know there's many a father doing the same. I know there are many people tonight that are carrying burdens in their hearts, and the words of their burden has never been spoken. And though you have a smiling face, you may be carrying a deep burden in your heart. But listen, friend, there's the greatest burden of all. It's the burden of sin. But I love the old hymn, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." In bondage. Under a burden. But there's something else about the slaves. The slaves were beaten. And all time they take the slave, and they would be cruelly entreated. And there was that unrelenting punishment. Many times the master would take the whip and would lash them, beat them, and tear their back and flesh to pieces. Friend, be honest before God tonight. That's a picture of the sinner. Sin will take you further than you ever want to go, friend. Sin will take you further, because I'll tell you this. Sin, left to yourself, will beat you. It'll beat you. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. And sin will cost you far more than you ever thought you had to pay. That's what you wear. Verse 17. Ye were the servants of sin. But then notice something happened here. Look at verse 17. But. Something happened. But. Didn't stay that way. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's not what you heard or what you were. It's what you heard. What did you hear? You heard the form of doctrine which was delivered you. What was this doctrine that Paul was preaching? What did Paul deliver to the people? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said that he preached the gospel. It was the gospel. He believed the gospel and he delivered the gospel unto them, that Jesus died according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again according to the scriptures. That's what we heard. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God I have good news tonight. I was telling the men, the orange men down in Broom Hedge this afternoon. I came and there's so much bad news around the country, friend. But I want to tell you this. I've come and I came to them with good news. I come to tell them that Jesus saves. That Jesus can break the power of cancer sin. That Jesus can set the prisoner free. The man that is in bondage. Glory to God. There's liberty for the man that's in bondage. Are you bound tonight and fettered by your sin? Are you crying out under a burden? Has your sin beaten you, friend, and left you wounded by the way? Thank God there's an answer in Christ. The old gospel tells me, good news, Jesus saves. And so it says here, what you were, served to sin. What you heard, the form of doctrine. That's the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. What you did, what does it say? But ye have obeyed from the heart. You see, friend, here's a heart experience. What they did was this: when they heard the good news, glory to God, they received it. Somebody rang you up tomorrow morning and said, sister rang you up tomorrow morning and said to you, I want to take you a wee call into my office. I'd like to speak to you. And have good news for you. Oh, boys, that would lighten you up. Put a smile on your face and a lilt in your step. Because you know it's good news and the sister's looking at you. That means one thing. You're going to get someone. Would you make your way into his office? He says to you, do you know Mrs. So-and-so? Say, I never heard of her. But she's only found out she's a relative of yours, and she's left your money in her will. And you say, me? But I don't know her. He says, you don't have to know her. She knows about you. Well, what is it? She says, she's left you $1 million. Tell me this. Would you say to him, catch yourself on, sister. Let me go home. I don't want it. I guarantee if you did, you'd be called a fool. For to be honest, you didn't want it. She can always give my name. Tell them about me. But then listen to them. I have greater news. There's a God in heaven, and he gave his darling son, and he sent him to Calvary to break the bondage of your sin and to lift the burden of your sin and to set you free. And let's be honest. And many after hearing that news have walked after night after night, Sunday after Sunday, mission after mission, and you've walked through them doors, friend, and you have turned your back on that good news. And God said to the man, thou foul. Thou foul. But here's a people. And what they were was they were servants to sin. And what they heard was the doctrine which was delivered them. And what they did was they obeyed. And what they experienced, verse 18, being then made free from sin. There's that word again. Then made free from sin. That's what it says in verse 22 again. But now being made free from sin. This is the gospel of redeeming grace, friend. This is our salvation by God himself. This is glorious freedom. This is blessed emancipation. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Well, that means you exchange masters. You're no longer the servant of sin and Satan. You're now a child of God and you're serving him. If any man be in Christ, the new creature. You know what that makes you? Go back to verse 17. But God be thanked. Boys, doesn't that make me thankful? Doesn't that make me thankful? God, you saved a wretch like me. You delivered a wretch like me, a brat of hell, and you made me a child of God, a son of the King. And it's all because of your amazing grace. There we have the consideration, friend. Here's the last thought. Here's the conclusion. The wages of sin is death. See the word wages. You know what that wages means? Wages means value given for work done. And I want to tell you this. Your son will pay you. Make no mistake about it. You get to pay. God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The wages, value given for work done. And you have worked for sin. And you'll get your wages. Say, preacher, what I get? After a life of sin, after serving the devil for all my life, what do I get? What wages will he give me? Death. There are three deaths mentioned in the scriptures, friend. There's physical death. That's the separation of the soul from the body. There is spiritual death. That's the separation of the soul from God. There's eternal death. And that's the separation of the soul and body from God eternally. And that's the wages of sin. That's what the devil gives you for being a faithful servant. After all the kicks and the laughs and all that the devil tells you about what you're going to get, the wages of your sin is death. But thank God there's good news. The gift of God. You see, friend, you don't earn this. It's not wages. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. Praise God, it's a free gift. And it's through Jesus Christ. In other words, it's only obtained through your union with Christ. Jesus Christ. Notice the next word. Our Lord. Is he yours? Is he your Savior tonight? And I ask you a question as we close. If the Lord Jesus Christ was to call you from that body tonight, friend, and say, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. If God was to call that soul from your body tonight, tell me, where would you be? Would you be in heaven or hell? Don't be a fool tonight, sinner. The devil will pay you your wages. And an eternal hell. But God offers you a gift. Eternal life. May God give you grace to take God's gift tonight for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts. Lord, you opened Lydia's heart many years ago. And I ask in Jesus' name that you'll open hearts in this service tonight. Well, they will say from the depths of their being, Lord Jesus, save me, I perish. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. As many as received him, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Will you receive him tonight? Thank God you'll get the gift of eternal life. But it's only through Jesus. Oh, you've turned your back on him. You've walked away from him so many times. And yet he's calling maybe one last time. He may never call again. What will you do with Jesus tonight, young man? What will you do with Jesus tonight, young woman? Mom, Dad? Will you walk out the door and say, Lord, that gift, I'll not take it. And instead of the gift, you get your wages. In the place of darkness, where the devil is and his angels, in the Christ of hell, just as I am. As our heads are bowed and eyes closed, let's sing that little verse. And if there's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, say, preacher, please lead me to Jesus Christ. Oh, I'll take God's gift tonight. I've walked out so many times before. I've turned my back on the lovely Son of God. But tonight I'll take the gift that God offers. I'll say, O Lamb of God, I come. Preacher, lead me to Jesus. So we sing this verse. If there's an anxious soul, man, woman, boy, or girl, you say, preacher, lead me to Christ. For a backslider, you say, I want to get back to the place of fellowship. I've been playing the fool. Preacher, point me back to my Lord. I've shamed him. Oh, I'm ashamed of the fruits of my sin. But the prodigal's coming home. Just lift that hand above your head as we sing the verse, friend. And God will do the work. Just as I am without one plea. There's a one in this gathering tonight to say, preacher, lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, break through in our hearts. Father, mother, son or daughter, young man, young woman, you lift that hand toward heaven tonight. Mean it before God, friend. Let the Lord take over. Let the Lord Jesus change your life tonight. Lift the burden and break the bondage and set you free. Just as I am and waiting up the final invitation. Just as. In the closing second, the final verse. Is there one right now, friend? Be honest before God. You need Jesus. Oh, you need Him. Without Him, you're lost. Without Him, you'll be lost for all eternity. Is there one that'll run to Christ tonight? Just lift that hand above your head. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Make it to the Lord now, friend. In God's name, run to Jesus. And let Him set you free. Is there one? Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The door will be open here at the front for the side door. Round the, right through the front door and up the side. The right hand side and then through the door at the side. I'll be in the minister's room. Please come and speak to me. Please don't go away without Jesus tonight. You can go home more wealthy than a millionaire. For you can go home with God's gift in your heart, eternal life. Or you can go home a pauper. One day to get the wages of sin. Which will it be, friend? It's now between you and God. I'll be in the minister's room. The Bible will be in my hand. I'll gladly open the scriptures and show you God's way, whereby you can be saved. Heavenly Father, bless your word and save the lost and restore the fallen. And encourage your people in Jesus' name. The people of God say it. Amen.